Hey everyone, this is episode 238, and this episode featured Bombcast J, Bender Only, and myself, and I would love to tell you about what happened in the episode, but I showed up to the episode just a little tipsy, and I go way more over the top during the episode, so when you listen to it, I'll listen to it, and we'll probably experience it together for the first time, so I hope it's good, and I hope you enjoy, and after the bomb, we will see. Here it comes, now. In addition to me bitching about that work, I'm going to show you this here in a minute. In addition to bitching about, you guys want some pint glasses?
Sure.
All right. Sure. Yeah. In addition to bitching about that work, which has been really crappy, I got to tell you, and without any any shame at all, I am drunk right now. Just drunk. Instead of digressing, I'm just going to say we are back. And this episode, which is a normal episode, it's not a comic book episode, it's not an interview episode, there's no Silver Badger, but what we do have is Bender Only.
Yep.
And Bombcast J.
Hey.
And it's the three of us, and we're sitting here, and yes, we are back. And one of the things I was thinking about, and I've kind of brought part of this conversation up to Jay in the past, I love our podcast. I love that we can talk about, you know, comic books and geek stuff. But and this isn't an insult on any of us, but I wish there was some way that we could just get way more humor and way more jokes packed in, like, the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, just pack it in. And I thought, you know, and this is no secret. This is about how every other famous podcast in the world's modeled.
Yeah.
Literally, for the first half of your podcast, you talk about personal stuff or some inside stories that we can either make fun of or we can jump on board with. And then at the end, you do certain current events. And I actually told Jay, I was kind of like months ago when I texted Jay, and I was like, you know, I thought he would be a great guy to bring this to, like, to say you bring out, like, we'll do whatever for the first half of the podcast, and then you bring us some kind of current events, what's popular, what's timely in what we talk about, or we all have something, or something like that. We all have, like, the letter column of the comic book. And the only reason I bring that up, because I just told everybody I was drunk, and I am, and the reason I'm drunk is, and Jay probably knows a little bit about this drunk, and she's not going to sit down here, but I'm going to let you peek behind the curtain. So this coming weekend, we were supposed to have a softball tournament for our daughters. We're canceled, and for multiple reasons. But the main reason I'll get to at the end, one reason it's good to be canceled is because Jay's daughter's dealing with a thumb injury, and Jay and I were those bad parents that put her in last week. We needed her. Our other catcher was exhausted. She clearly was exhausted. So we put his daughter in. And she clearly, it took mom coming over and say, hey, she's kind of wincing. Yeah. There's tears in her eyes. Take her out of the game.
In the third inning of her catching.
Yeah, the third. But she made a difference.
Yeah.
We needed her.
Something happened in that third inning. She was fine the first two.
Yeah, we damn near won the game because of her.
Okay.
And both catchers are great. I have two great catchers. I'm blessed with that. So, so we canceled this tournament, which is good for his daughter. Mm-hmm. And one of the other reasons it was good that we canceled is because we were going to be shorthanded anyway with a bunch of girls with soccer. The other reason we canceled, the other reason is there was no 12U teams but us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play up to 14U, where we would have been the last 14U team we played, we lost 19-1, and two of their girls damn near hit the ball out of the park every time they came
that's
up.
That's frustrating.
It is frustrating. I enjoyed it that time.
Yeah.
That 19-1 loss wasn't bad because our girls really, they when we had chances, we played well. When that team had chances, they didn't play well.
Yeah.
We showed. Now, the wheels have called kind of fallen off a little bit on us of late, but we'll get it back together. But the main reason we were going to cancel, and the reason I brought up this personal thing, is that Missy got a call tonight, and her grandma may be passing away tonight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so that might put us at a funeral this weekend, which would take me and Hayden, and even Missy, even though she's not a part of the coaching staff, but it would just make it a hard weekend.
Yeah.
So Missy tried to go upstairs. She's been really into meditating lately. She goes and she meditates to calm herself and center herself. And I feel like we're from California when I say that. But she went upstairs. It just wasn't working for her. She's been very upset all night. So I said, hey, it's Hayden's keeper practice. You know, the bar there, Q64. Mm-hmm. I said, Jason's coming. Kelly's coming. His wife, your cousin.
Yep.
So let's go have some drinks. Keep your mind occupied. And then I even tried to tell her to come down on the podcast. But at this point, she was kind of, you know, tired and done. But we went to Q, and we started drinking. And it wasn't so much the volume of drinking. It's that in an hour, I had three really high ABV beers.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do it.
And then as I was leaving, the Q64, for those that don't know, and if you're not in St. Louis, why would you, is Quintessential from downtown St. Charles.
Yeah.
They've opened what they call Q64 at our soccer complex because it's on Highway 64.
Mm-hmm.
And they're slow. It's been a slow open. So tonight I walked in. I was like, holy shit, finally the back of the bar is just stocked with booze. And I was so many bourbons, so many good whiskeys. So I was leaving. And I go, all right, you got three Whistle Pigs up there. Whistle Pig, one. I don't like rye whiskey per se, but the ones I like a lot. And Whistle Pig make, I think, the best rye whiskey across the board. And I said, you got three Whistle Pigs up there. And this is after I've drank three high ABV beers from Four Hands. And I go, you got Whistle Pig, you know, 6, you got Whistle Pig 10, you got Whistle Pig 12. And I go, how much is a pour of that 12? She goes, $9. And I go, are you serious? She goes, well, I don't have a button for it, so I'm going to say $9. So I said, I'll take a double. And I killed it. And I'm going to tell you right now, a Whistle Pig 12-year, the one that was there, is about a $120 bottle of booze. That should be about $25 a pour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, I am not passing this up.
Yeah.
And I am going to drink heavily right now.
I almost brought a Four Hands high ABV beer.
I would have drank it. Yeah. At this point, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Week's
almost over.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and it's going to only get worse for me as it goes. And I'll tell you guys what my week plans are. You'll get a kick out of my plans for the week. And I will say that tonight, the amount of booze I drank in a short period of time is very reminiscent about the worst. I mean, we all know I have a lot of useless trips. All of us, all the three of us sitting here have a lot of useless information in our head. But I've been quite adept at dominating trivias lately. Mm-hmm. The worst performance I've ever had happened to be with Jay and his wife at our school fundraiser, and it wasn't mine and Jay's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It was just Jay's fault.
Yeah.
Because he brought the most strong. He brought, like, Arkham from Modern, that 14% stout, which is one of the best.
Oh, yeah,
Ulysses.
Yeah. Went off the rails quickly.
I was Fat Thor because our theme was superheroes, and I looked the part after about an hour because I spilled a beer all over myself. That's what tonight felt like. Yeah. So I am super hammered right now, feeling good, gonna keep the train rolling, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, Ritz's brother came into town, and we drank all weekend, and he didn't get in. Friday, I felt like I was pretty responsible.
Now, did he bring beers with him?
Yeah, he brought a bunch of
shit. Or did you still have all yours left over?
So we traded a bunch. But Friday, I was pretty responsible because he wasn't there, and Jeremiah had soccer games till like 8. And then we go back to the house, the kids are laying down, and the neighbors are all drinking. So I was like, well, we're going to walk down there and drink with the neighbors. And I walk up, and Jake's like, do you want a shot? I was like, sure. I didn't ask what it
who
was.
Who's this?
Jake, the big 6'8" dude.
Okay, yeah. Wait, who's the big 6'8"?
I don't know if you've met him yet.
I don't think I have.
He said that
like we should.
Yeah.
He comes to volleyball. He's around all the time. He's a big 6'8" dude.
Is he a nice guy?
Yeah, super nice guy. His wife is the same size as Rachel.
So nice that I can't tackle him and beat him up for being taller than me.
He's a good guy.
I feel like I should, though. That's my flaw. Let's just get past that.
So he goes, you want a shot? I'm like, yeah. And I just didn't even. The alcoholic in me was like, sure, take it. And I took it. And I was like, what the fuck is this? It was absinthe. I've never just shot before.
Yeah, because you're not stupid.
Yeah, I'm not an idiot. But I didn't. I guess I am because it didn't match what it was.
Well, no. You're a different idiot. Yeah. You're an idiot of a guy that's a good time, fun guy.
Yeah.
You're not an idiot that would offer someone an absinthe straight shot.
And it turned out that he had been holding on to it for like 30 minutes because he didn't want to take it when everybody else had done their absinthe shots.
I take it back. He's not an idiot. He's smart.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like,
he found his patsy for the guys.
And then I had like 3 beers, and I go home and lay down, and I wake up the next morning. I'm like, I don't remember a lot of last night, and I know I didn't drink that fucking much, but that absinthe just like hit me.
Yeah. So I dated a girl for a couple of years, Susan, and we'll leave her last name out of this. But
in case she's listening.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no fucking way she's listening, but it'd be awesome if she was. So she actually, at one point, went over to Europe with her mom and did this trip. The only reason that really sticks in my head for two reasons. One, she called me from there because she missed me, which was okay, except that it cost me $53.
Yeah.
And two, she brought back actual absinthe. So the absinthe that we get in the United States is a dumbed down version of it. Mm. The hallucinogenic absinthe is actually over in Europe. And she brought it back and we drank it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, I was already hammered going into it. Probably cards on the table. Probably been smoking a little bit. Not the cigarettes, but mm-hmm. the fun. The wacky tobacco.
Yeah.
And more on that in a little bit. I'll get back to that in a little bit too. The whacker tobacco. But we were already a little toe up from the flow up. But she pulled it out, and I know I had at least two shots. And then I don't think I remember the next 3 days. Yeah. I don't think we finished it, but I know it's gone.
Like, I've had an absinthe drink where you sip on it a little bit, and I'm like, this sucks.
The correct way to do it is to take the sugar cube and melt it into it.
Yeah.
That's like the way to do it. Drinking it straight, which is what, still not the worst shot I've ever drank straight. The worst shot I've ever drank straight, and Hikus brought it up in our comic book weekend, was Cachaca. It's the Brazilian, it like, they classify it as rum because they're too naive to find it, but it's like Brazilian rum / tequila. And it was when the Cardinals won the World Series in 2011, I believe. Roughly.
Yeah.
Wasted drunk off the... It's essentially turpentine.
Yeah.
And Hikus brought me back two bottles. He brought me back like the $5 bottle and like the $40 bottle. But there was like a pinhole that somehow hit in the seal of the $40 bottle. So by the time I opened it, it had evaporated.
Oh.
No, it's gone.
Oh, wow.
It's gone. But the $5 bottle, I can tell you, is like drinking McCormick vodka or tequila all night. The worst drink in the world. I couldn't think of a worse way to spend your evening.
I bought a cheap vodka or tequila in Mexico just for the bottle to put some sand in it for the kids one time. And it was. I don't think it was tequila. I think it was turpentine.
Have you ever had mezcal?
No, I don't think so.
Now, it could have been mezcal, because mezcal may be the worst fucking liquor in the world.
It literally, like, my throat closed and just would not let me have it. And I just, like, chain reaction spit it out. And, like, the girl sitting next to me at the bar was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Turns out there's a lot.
Sorry.
So I was in Nashville one time with a bunch of coworkers, and we went to the speakeasy down Printer's Alley, which is one of my favorite bars to go to. Mm-hmm. But I'm convinced there was a couple of gay bartenders. Not that there's anything wrong with that. In fact, this story tells you I think one was hitting on me, and I used it.
Yeah.
So I wanted something other than beer, because we ran up a healthy beer bill of wine and steak, and then we go to Printer's Alley, and so I'm like, I'm going to take mixed drinks, and this is kind of a mixology place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're making me all kinds of drinks, and I just keep going back, and every time I go back, I tell this one bartender, I go, I don't care what it is, but you're my man. And he goes, you're damn right I'm your man. So by the end of the night, and keep in mind, there were six of us. I was the only one with a corporate card at the time, and I could tell you my bill was about $900. And so he goes, well, what do you want now? And I go, I think I've drank it all. I'm going to let you decide. He goes, do you like mezcal? And I go, I don't know, but I trust you. I go, and at this point in the night, I was playing into it. I go, I trust you. You let your hands do what they need to do. And he's like, and he goes, well, then that's all I needed here. And he made me a mezcal drink, and he gave it to me. He goes, let me know what you think. I go, oh, I will. And I went over to the table, and I took it, and I gave it away. I go, that's the worst fucking thing I've ever had. Like, I don't care what – it's like if you take tequila, rub it in mud, and piss in it, that's mezcal.
Isn't that what Bryan Cranston and the other dude from Breaking Bad, don't they have their own mezcal company?
I don't know if they do.
I think
Paul?
Yeah. Aaron Paul, yeah, that's his name. Yeah,
if they do, it's shit.
I don't think I've ever had it. I know Malort has made its way down here from Chicago, and I've never had Malort, but it's apparently a shot, like a shooter drink, and... look up like reviews of Malort, and it's pretty bad.
Something called Malort sounds awful.
It's only out of, I guess,
that's a made up word if you ran out of words.
Yeah.
Let's drink Malort.
It's been around forever and the bottle's never changed, apparently.
I've had Old Style and I've had some Old Style highballs in Chicago because that's apparently used to be a thing. But by the way, Old Style sucks. It's like Stag down here.
Yeah.
Jepson's Malort is a brand of Basque liquor introduced in the 30s. And long produced by Chicago's Carl Jepson Company.
I would take a poll and say how many people know what Basque liquor is.
I have no idea. I'm going to have to Google that now.
And if you polled 100 people, no one would know, and that's an indication that you should not drink it.
Yeah. I mean, if it was there, then I'd be like, well, I got to fucking try it.
So, Jay, how was your week?
Oh, it was kind of boring. We got a new dog, and I am...
You do have a new dog.
I am so glad.
The cutest little thing.
I'm so glad to be out of the house.
So here was the thing. And I'm sure because you're with the puppy all day because you work from home and all this stuff. But we had a softball. We had a doubleheader this past week, and they brought the dog to the game. And at one point in between games, I came out of the dugout and I came over and talked to your wife to see the dog. The dog was passed out on the top seat of the bleacher, not moving. I go, well, that's the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
but apparently I didn't get to see the hellion side.
Oh no, like. I was alone with it yesterday morning, and I texted her. I'm like, I'm done. You got to do something with this dog because I cannot stand it.
It was their choice. You got suckered in.
I got suckered in.
And then she's going to be your dog. It's a girl, I assume.
Yeah.
But tell everybody how you got suckered in because I feel like that's the clearest beer I've seen in a long time.
You can have it.
You want some? We'll split it. Let's finish ours and we'll split it. But you got suckered in. And real quick, before we tell you about his suckered in, it's Endless Color. It's a hoppy wheat ale. It's from one of my consistently favorite breweries, Maplewood.
Yeah.
Be Fluid. That's, I guess, their motto. It's a 5.9%, like I said, hoppy wheat ale. So we'll give it a go here in a little bit. Yeah, I don't like wheat. L's per se, but a hoppy wheat ale I can do.
I do like them, hoppy wheats, especially when you're outside.
You brought over a wheat ale that I really enjoyed that I drank it recently. You brought it over last week, and I drank it a couple nights ago. Had orange zest in it, and it was really good.
Was that the Pipeworks one?
Yes, I think it was. That was a good one. That was a good beer.
Pipeworks, I don't think I've had a beer from Pipeworks I don't like.
Maplewood, Pipeworks, those are, like, I know there's, like, these trendy, fancy, like, side project we know we have here in St. Louis, and they're well worth their salt. But these are just beers that just... Our breweries that put out quality beers.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you went on a trip recently.
Yeah, and my wife's cousin brought their little puppy. And the kids fell in love. My wife fell in love. I've been saying, I'm not ready. We just put our other dog down like April or May.
During COVID, right? Yeah.
So you had a dog before. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we put down two dogs in the last 3 years.
Okay.
So I'm just like, I'm not ready. And I kept using all of our trips as reason. Well, yeah, we can't get a puppy because... We're not going to be able to kennel it. My mom's not going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So we get back in town, and we got back Sunday, Monday morning, Memorial Day. My wife is like, I've been looking at puppies. And all of a sudden, her phone rings, and it's Petland. And they're like, so we got your request to come see our puppies. What time are you thinking of coming? And she's like, what time do you open? I'm like, oh, I guess we're doing this today.
Yeah, this is happening.
So, yeah, we went there, and we got one, and...
What is it?
It's a teddy bear. It's a Shih Tzu Bichon mix. Okay.
Oh, it's a teddy bear. It looks like a fucking teddy bear.
Yeah, I saw the picture of it. It's adorable.
It's
a little dust mop running around your house.
Yeah, the sweetest thing. But sweetest little piece of shit in the world.
She's 9 weeks old. She likes to just sit and bite on my feet all the time.
So Missy told me, coming out of your story, because of you guys, which makes me hate you guys.
Yeah.
Missy
hate the rest of my family.
Yeah, Missy goes, you know, the next time we get a dog, when one of our dogs pass, can we get like a puppy? Not because we've always bought Lou. Lou was like 3 or 4 months old. Jenkins was like, he was like the runt. He was like 5, 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, can we get like a real true puppy, like an 8, 6, 8 week? I go, do you just not like me?
We got Zero when she was like 8 weeks old, and she's still the most neurotic thing. And they're like, was she like abused? I'm like, I guess by us. I don't know.
So our previous two dogs were both puppies, and we went through all this with them.
And but I don't like it.
We had them for 12 to 14 years.
Yeah.
So my son tonight, he keeps getting bit too, and he's just like, I see why you didn't want one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Once well, they get,
the
like,
good
at
news
they
is that biting. Yeah, and that biting will subside.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
and that is an adorable dog.
Yeah. I realized this weekend because my brother-in-law brought his roughly 1 year old newly adopted Rottweiler to my house.
Yeah, small dog.
Yeah, little bitty thing.
Yeah.
And I've been like...
like a miniature dog.
And I love big dogs. And after him being
and
in my house all weekend... Yeah, not at all. After him being in my house all weekend, I've realized I love other people's big dogs. Where I can pet them and play with them and wrestle with them and then go back to my house where I have a normal-sized dog.
It's hilarious. You have the stance on big dogs as How Pal. Friend of the show. Never been on the show, but Jay has seen him been knocked unconscious.
Yeah.
He has a stance that I don't love kids. I just love my kids.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same way with
you. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
See, I don't even like my kids.
Oh, no. Actually, it's kind of weird. I think I like other people's kids more than mine because then they leave and I'm like, fuck, mine's still here.
It cracks me up how different perception can be depending on your angle.
Yeah.
Like, I look at my kids and I say, I've got two of the best behaved kids when I'm in public, but they suck at home.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I look at Jay's kids and I see he has three of the most drastically. My kids are pretty much the same. Two, they both have the similar taste, both similar athleticism, although Hayden has a little bit more dedication. But I look at Jay's kid and I say, you've got three vastly different kids, but they're all so good in public. Mm-hmm. And they all, well,
in,
and yeah, I clearly,
in public, clearly,
I clearly have a biased attachment to one.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I have a passive attachment to your oldest daughter because she is an artist, and I feel a kindred spirit in that.
Yeah.
And then you have a boy, which I was a boy at one point. I'm all man now.
Yeah.
But I think that you I think you have three great kids, and then you come on the show and go, well, I hate my kids. It's the best.
Yeah.
That's what's great about kids. Outside looking in, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Inside looking out. If they paid me to kill him, I would.
Yeah.
Like, Harry was homesick today. He had, like, last week, one of the neighbor kids had a low-grade fever. It was tested for COVID. It was negative. Then Vera got it, and now Harry's got it. So it's kind of, like, ran through everybody. So he stayed home with me all day today.
He had COVID?
No, it's not COVID.
Oh, he just
had
them
all tested for COVID. But no, it's not COVID. But he had a low-grade fever all day, and he's just kind of lethargic and laying around. And we watched movies all day while I worked, and it was awesome. Then he fell asleep. Vera came home from school. I made dinner. Me and her hung out. It was great. We chit-chatted all day. Then they both are up together, and it's like fucking hell breaks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what is... like, my blood pressure goes to like a fucking 900, and I'm like, stop moving.
It's, to spin off of your COVID talk, Hayden and Missy has scheduled Hayden a rapid response test for Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason is, and if you were to... so Hayden's excited about going, but not for the reasons that one would normally think. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the rules, but if you a concert comes in town, like the artist can dictate what the rules are for the venue. So Chris Stapleton's coming in town this week.
Okay.
They're at Riverport. We call it Riverport because we're pretty close to local St. Louisans.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Hollywood Amphitheater or whatever.
It is. It's Hollywood now. Yeah. It was Verizon. Now it's Hollywood.
Yeah. So they're gonna go. So Missy had a friend who's taking their daughter, who's Hayden's good friend,
mm-hmm.
and another friend who's taking their daughter, who's Hayden's other friend, and they're going to go see Chris Stapleton Thursday. So, because Hayden's the only 11, the other two are 12, so they've been vaccinated.
She's underage.
So, Hayden's got to get a negative
rapid test.
Yeah, rapid 72 test.
72 hours.
So, well, 48 hours.
Oh, they're they made it even shorter.
Hours. Yeah, they're 48 hours, so she's got to go get one. And Hayden doesn't give two fucks about Chris. I can tell you this. Hayden heard concert. Okay, that's okay. Two of my friends. Yeah, that'll be fun. She's going to hate Chris Stapleton. And I love Chris Stapleton.
Yeah,
it's outlaw country that I love.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. He's got like 10 songs that I love, but I will never listen to those songs in the same day.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Because
they're slower.
Well, because they're very depressing.
Yeah.
And you need to uplift it. And I'm going to spin off this topic, and I'm going to bring us back to what our podcast is. But like... I did, like, it's a Thursday night, and I told Missy, I go, you know, she's like, Hayden's a little worried about how late we're going to be out. I go, oh, you're not worried.
Yeah.
She'll be home at 9. Yeah. That concert's going to drive her nuts.
Yes.
That's like a buddy of mine who's like, goes and sees Eric Church every time he comes in town. I'm like, what? Like, do you cry by the end? Because his songs are all kind of sad and lonely stuff. Does he have, like, faster songs that they just don't play on the radio?
I tell you this. I saw Eric Church. Uh-huh. He's a dude that sings Springsteen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah,
he is.
I think you're right.
And that's a good song.
Yeah.
I saw Eric Church in CMA Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this. I wasn't an Eric Church fan going into it. I'm not a country fan going into anything.
Yeah.
But I find, every once in a while, I find something I like. But I wasn't a fan of his going in. And then I watched a series of the biggest, most arena shows you could see from country mm-hmm. music. And then I watched Eric Church come out for 40 minutes with his acoustic guitar,
okay.
play his entire set
mm-hmm.
with no break and no pause. Just him and the acoustic guitar. And I looked at Missy and go, that's a bad dude right
there.
That's
cool.
That's a bad dude.
That's really cool.
I could not tell you a single song by any of those people you mentioned.
Springsteen, if you heard it,
yeah,
you would know it.
Know
like,
it.
That's a good song.
That's like, I was scrolling through Instagram earlier, and I guess the VMAs were yesterday.
Yeah.
And I watched it.
I did not.
I only watched it for one reason. Well, I watched it for...
Because Machine Gun Kelly fought Conor McGregor?
Yeah. So we'll get into that. Put a pin in that. Let's do that in current event section.
Okay.
I watched it for three reasons. One, you know, one of my favorite bands on the planet of all time is Foo Fighters. They mm-hmm. got the global influencer or lifetime achievement or whatever. So I watched it for that. The other reasons was Hayden came downstairs and watched it with us. So until she went to bed, I'm like, hey, we rarely get this, so we're going to capitalize on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then the other reason was Kalen was like, there's like a few things, and we're going to put a pin in Kalen and concerts here in a little bit.
But I just didn't know, like, I was scrolling through the pictures of the artists, and I was like, I think I know two of these people.
Zero rock.
Yeah.
There was not a rock and roll. And so I brought it up to Missy. I was like, where's Nirvana? You know, where is Pearl Jam? No, I just mean... No. Oh,
wait.
God damn it!
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Since when?
You did name Pearl Jam, who's like the only one from that time that's still around.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
That is...
But what about Scott Weiland? No, wait.
Chris Cornell? No, wait.
Also, yeah.
Shannon Hoon?
No, we're all gone. But no, you know, so... But it's not even that they're gone... Rock is gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know what? And that's what made me double down on loving Foo Fighters. Thank God for Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But here was my comment to Missy as we were watching. I go, you know what's funny about this? And so Foo Fighters were up there playing, and the crowd was into it. Because Dave does, and trust me, I've seen him a lot. He does not let you not get into it.
Yeah.
But there's all these rappers. There's all these... pop stars and all these big
K-pop
stars.
Dudes and all that.
K-pop. Oh, don't get me started on those fucking guys. But there's all these people that are on the show, and they're like, who are these old fucks? And I told Missy, I go, here's the thing about the Foo Fighters. Every single one of them are worth more than all those others.
Yeah.
And so I had to win that argument. Kaylin goes, who's Dave Grohl anyway? What's so great about him? I go, Google is worth. And she looked up and goes, and Kaylin goes, what the F? And
he's
I go,
been doing it for 40 years.
But there's something to be said, just not about doing it for that long, but doing it at a high level.
Yeah.
Like Paul McCartney. When Kanye did a song with Paul McCartney and everybody was like, who's the old white dude with Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
And the internet goes, oh, triple the value of Kanye.
Yeah.
Triple.
Maybe not anymore. Kanye's an actual billionaire now.
Still not. No, he's kind of a billionaire.
With his clothing line. Not from his music.
Still not as much as the Beatles and Paul McCartney.
And he probably has to give Kim half of it, so.
Yeah.
That's true, but he's still a billionaire technically.
That's just in case you guys are wondering, I've done a lot of research on this because I have a daughter who has, and we're going to get to this in our Throw It to Missy segment, has a vested interest in it. Donda came out.
I did not listen to it.
It's awful. Because you're hearing about a billionaire who bitches about his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drake's album came out. I'm not a Drake fan. Way better.
Yeah.
And then there was this unreleased track that came out from Kanye with Andre 3000, which was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, make that your album.
I think they just released like it was like 18 years ago, like last week or something, their Hey Ya came out, and he was like, and he posted something about it, and I was like, damn, it's been that long.
Yeah. Yeah, because Stankonia.
Was it like 03 or something like that?
Well,
yeah, I'll tell you.
Was it? I thought it was earlier than that, because I think it was in college.
Yeah, it might have been.
Because Stankonia came out.
Oh, yeah.
98.
Yeah, dude, I was. I mean, that's.
I guess, yeah, I guess Hey Ya was about then, yeah.
Sorry, Miss Jackson was when I was in college, because I jammed out.
At least 2003.
Okay. Yeah, so Stankonia and then.
Yeah, because I was a freshman in college.
That was the
for
album.
The first time.
That was. That was the album where they split and they did their own disc.
Yeah.
Because they were having problems.
Oh, Stankonia? Yeah. The Speaker Box and Love Below
right.
was
yeah.
that album.
Yeah, that had Hey Ya.
Yeah. It had Hey Ya and it had.
Miss Jackson?
No, Miss Jackson was not
that. Was
on
Stankonia.
That. It had Speaker Box. So it had Hey Ya and then it had. I can't think of the name, but nothing feels great about those 808s.
Yeah.
I like the way you move. The way you move. That was that song. Yeah, that a great opener. Album. Oh yeah, yeah, great album.
Try that. Plush, it's pretty good.
Did you guys? I did. I just poured it. I just poured the whole thing.
Well,
I gave you that.
I don't need that.
I've never had it. Take the rest of it.
All
right. I brought it over for you guys because that's a Vermont beer that Michael brought home with him.
You can finish telling that story if you want.
Hey, yeah.
I literally lost
my train of thought.
Back to the VMAs. I saw that Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker left the stage and then came back and performed later. Did they ever say what happened?
I don't know. I didn't watch all of it, but we have it recorded to watch. So let's talk about it real quick. Let's get into the Conor McGregor thing.
Yeah.
Because Conor McGregor and Machine Gun Kelly got in an altercation. There was a rumor that Conor McGregor that asked him for a picture, and Machine Gun Kelly denied him, and one of his bouncers pushed Conor.
That's a dumb move.
So apparently that's not true. Conor's team came out and said, no, he didn't ask him for a picture. Said he knows Machine Gun Kelly because he knows Megan Fox and that he came to the fights to watch
him. Yeah, he's been at the fights before.
But no matter what the story is, I can tell you this without a shadow of a doubt, and I talked to this with Missy. Machine Gun Kelly has been involved in a lot of altercations because he's an addict and he's an admitted addict.
Yeah.
He don't, him or his bodyguards, no matter how big they are, they don't want any part of even a wounded Conor McGregor.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. They don't want any part of
it. When I saw it this morning, I guess I was like scrolling through Twitter and I was like, well, he would have murdered everyone there. And then part of me was like, good for Machine Gun Kelly for like, I'm not taking any slack even if I get my ass beat. But then at the same time, I'm like, that's still really dumb. But it's also dumb on Conor's part. Like, stop acting like a fucking child.
But this is him.
I know, it's annoying.
And by the way,
that's
look
why nobody
up,
likes him.
Look up your... Yeah, but that's not true. That's why nobody
likes
him.
That's why I don't like him.
And that's why everybody likes him.
Yeah. You love to hate him.
Because you look up his worth...
Oh, he's worth a...
Gillion.
He bought like a $100 million boat not that long ago.
It still has about $500 million left to
spend. Yeah, he looks like fucking... He looks like it looks like something that Batman would.
I gotta tell you, for a guy that's a moron, he is a smart dude.
Yeah, and he's dedicated. I mean, you know, he's learned his craft.
And him and Bieber are best friends. Like they have been for like a few years. So when he, this is what lets you know that the MTV VMAs are a little rigged.
Yeah.
He happened to give out Artist of the Year and Bieber won.
Yeah.
You know, and Bieber even shouted him out.
I bet you they know that they win, and I bet you a lot of those like bigger awards they get to pick the presenter type situation.
Art's just all bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
So when I first saw the picture today, I thought he was going for that Paul kid.
Logan Paul,
Jake
Paul.
Whichever one's a boxer.
Were they there?
I don't know.
They're both boxers. They're not there. They weren't there, I don't think.
No, but I saw just a little picture.
But that's a good bring up. We should talk about celebrity quote unquote boxing over from the weekend.
Yeah, that was that Trump thing.
There was the Triller had to fight, and Trump was there, and
he presented it.
He was the color commentator.
Yeah.
He was there.
Him and Don Jr. apparently.
And I will say this.
Did you watch it?
No, yes, but not I did not pay for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Unofficially he watched it.
I unofficially watched it, but I will say this. The reason I watched it is because there were some names attached to it, were some of the greatest names in the history of
Holyfield was fighting.
Who got fucked up by a 14-year younger boxer, or MMA fighter, Vitor Belfort, who's on all the ICA, the Mexican supplements, the illegal narcotics. He is, when he's on that, arguably one of the top 10 greatest MMA fighters of all time. By the way, just missed the Brazilian Olympic team for boxing this much when he was at 19 years old, after he'd already won a UFC tournament. He's 44. Evander was 58.
Yeah.
And got fucked up.
Well, yeah, I mean,
legitimately fucked up. Like, it shouldn't have been a fight. And I want to come back to that.
How big is that guy?
Vitor?
I've met Holyfield.
Vitor?
Mm-hmm.
Not a heavyweight.
He's not? Okay. Cause
no. He's the max weight he fought at was 205.
I think Holyfield is like your size. Like height-wise.
Well, Holyfield's a heavyweight, and the fact that he weighs in about 235 when he fights, and he looked great.
Yeah.
But he's a 58-year-old guy, and there's some celebrities that have said they've been at events where he's had a handler whisper in his ear what to say. Shouldn't be fighting.
Which ear?
Either. So just so people know, they moved that from California to Florida because California wouldn't license the fight.
Yeah.
Florida, which we just mentioned earlier.
All bets off.
Yeah. Wild, wild west. So Vitor fucked him up, which he wasn't a favorite, by the way, but he should have fucked him up. But the other fight, the better fight, was even shorter, was one of the four greatest MMA fighters of all time, in Anderson the Spider Silva, fighting one of the greatest personalities in MMA, Tito Ortiz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Anderson...
God, how old is Tito now?
Not as old as Anderson. Tito came out, he was the bully, he was punching, probably threw about 50 punches, to which Anderson just shoulder rolled and headlocked, and then clock, 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 three punches knocked him out.
No shit.
And then Anderson said, okay, Jake, let's fight. Jake Paul.
Yeah.
This is why I segued into it. And he will not just beat Jake Paul. So Tyron Woodley has his spirit broke.
Yeah.
He did not fight hard. When he decided to fight hard in those fights, he was winning the fight.
Yeah.
He won the big moments in the fight because he landed a punch that rocked Jake. Anderson will... Jake, avoid it. Avoid it. If you want to make money, go fight Tyson Fury, who's... Or not Tyson. Yeah, Tyson Fury, who's... why am I blanking on his brother's name? His brother, who's a heavyweight champion of the world, the linear heavyweight champ.
Yeah.
Go fight him.
Anderson Silva's 46.
Oh, fucking old as dirt. And I got to tell you, as a 46-year-old, one of the baddest 46-year-olds walking.
No.
Not just striking everything. Bad man. Bad man.
All of these guys, they got it... Pretty much, especially these older fighters, who money's probably like not. It's way more lucrative than it was when they were coming up, and it was probably still pretty good then.
Oh,
and the smart move is do this. You're going to get a couple million bucks out of it.
Tyron Woodley said that he did not make his biggest payday in his career, but what he did was make. What he said, I made more money fighting MMA, but this one fight.
Yeah.
Wasn't much less than
exactly. It was one. It was it was one fight.
And Jake. And I'll say this: I'm not a Jake Paul fan.
No,
I do think he's serious about boxing.
I think he's a legitimate athlete.
Yeah.
But I think what he's doing though is I think that it's a famous person shining a light on the pay inequality for MMA fighters, which is very bad.
Yeah.
Because you look at like the UFC is like it. And you can double check me on my numbers, but I think they're right. They're like 75% to 80% of the revenue goes to the owners.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
They got to pay for the island.
That's no doubt. The Jeffrey Epstein Island.
Yeah.
There's guys that are
nothing weird going on there.
There are people, and this is not a hyperbole, not exaggeration, but there are people that are on a UFC card that will show up and fight and win, and still have to go back to Lowe's.
Yeah.
The next day.
Yeah.
If you're a professional fighter, you on a pay-per-view, you should not have a day job.
Yeah.
Unless you're a firefighter like Stipe Miocic or something where you're just passionate about.
Yeah.
But you should not have a retail or
day
job.
Not. Yeah, you're and that's what that Netflix about the first female heavyweight boxer.
Yeah.
That was
not
her
first female.
Or, I mean like the main one.
Yeah.
But she was the first one to get paid.
Untold.
Yeah, Untold. Yeah. The Untold story. And she was the first one to get paid, and she was like, But she did it for 10 years. Like, yeah. They were poor for 10 years before she finally made money.
So to put this in perspective, guys that play independent baseball have to work those same jobs. Yeah. The MMA guys
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Well, and for those that haven't listened to our podcast, please, please, please go look at Greg Larson.
Yeah.
Or go listen to Greg Larson and Clubby. That was a great show. Yeah. That was one of our best shows of the year. And I don't think the Silver Badger has listened to it. And he
shame
may,
on him.
Yeah, and he may more than anybody will enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg was a cool dude, man. And yeah. That's ridiculous. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I had a train of thought. Speaking of money and paydays,
let's get
this transition. Hey, you know did what? You see that Ted Lasso's the whole crew's getting paid for season 3? Like a fuck ton.
Well, let's just do this right now, Bender.
I'm not caught up on Ted Lasso. Just so you guys know,
let's just throw this out there. Let's cut. Well, I think. What I talked about at the beginning of this episode.
Broke a natural transition.
Well, no. What I talked about at the beginning of the... It's funny. The beginning of this episode when I said, let's get into the personal shit and let's do topic. This is the best episode we've done at that in a while. So let's just throw it to Missy, who's not here.
Yep.
And let's start with Ted Lasso. So they're getting paid.
It came out today. So just out of the gate, season 3, which is all of that show is guaranteed for.
Yeah, that's all that Bill Lawrence and Jason Sudeikis said
that they wanted to do. They wrote a 3-year story arc, or 3-season story arc, and
they wrote a 3-part story, which is the Joseph Campbell story circle.
Yeah,
they did that.
Yeah, so Bill Lawrence, which is the writer and producer, head producer,
Scrubs, fame, Cougar Town, Cougar Island. That's a completely different show with a lot of fucking
he was doing an 8-figure deal, which isn't nothing to you know
scoff at
with Warner Brothers, or no, is it Warner Brothers,
whoever
Warner it is Warner now he's got a 9-figure deal with them,
yeah, because he's great.
So there's only like 12 writers and producers. Shonda Rhimes and a couple other people have 9-figure deals in Hollywood.
Yeah, and Bill Lawrence has earned it. He's done some of my favorite shows ever.
Sudeikis is getting a million.
Spin City.
That was the last one I couldn't think of. Which is a great show.
Yeah. Oh, underrated as it gets.
Sudeikis is getting $1 million an episode for season 3.
He should.
Up from 250 to 300 per episode that he was getting, you know, the last 2 years. Brennan Hunt, Coach Beard, and Roy Kent, Brett Goldstein. Huh. Signed separate the writing deals.
CGI.
It's going
to the operating system.
The Matrix. Would you put a pin in that?
Yes.
So they got writing deals and acting deals written into their contracts, and they're all making all
it's
of those
It's awesome
guys.
That they're all yeah. point the voice.
Beard, Rebecca, you know, Keeley, all of them went from like $75,000 an episode to $150,000.
You know what it's reminiscent of? It's reminiscent of The Office, how everybody has a voice, everybody's writing. And I got to tell you this, so we won't ruin it for you,
yeah,
Bender.
You probably will.
But we will say this. The Silver Badger, and I'm going to steal his joke, he texted, the greatest hug in TV since Macho Man and Elizabeth hugged on the reuniting. And I got to tell you, you're one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that. And so, you know, I'm going to get gushy. You're the first best friend I made when I moved to St. Louis. I love you. So in spite of being gushy, it's just how much I'm mad at you. The fact that you're not fucking caught
I
up
know.
On Ted Lasso.
It's my wife's fault.
It drives me insane.
It's my wife's fault.
Because the last episode, everybody who's bitched, everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean the interwebs.
Yeah.
That's bitched about this season and how it's so positive. If you didn't fucking, this episode made it all worth it.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jay sent out a message.
I saw it.
That he watched What If before that.
Yeah.
And you're just talking about emotionally beating yourself down.
Yeah. I was wrecked.
Well, and I don't know anything, but the episode before that with Nate, like, pulling his, like, you know, heel
bullshit.
Turn. And I was like, oh, God, I do not like this. And then I was playing around on Twitter, and everybody hated it. And he had to, like, send out a message that was like,
Keep watching.
Yeah. It'll pay off in the end. I'm just an actor.
We got a note if Badger notes you said heel turn there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, he did.
I did say heel turn. There is a show called Heel on Showtime.
Yeah. You don't listen to our podcast whatsoever.
I did not listen to the last episode. I've been insanely
busy. The one before.
Yeah, that was
the
2 ago.
Yeah. Did I not miss that one?
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't.
Did miss that one, Bender?
Yeah. it's because I know you guys.
But let's so our weekly wrap-up that is Ted Lasso, for all the people, and I'm going to be sincere when I say this. I'm going to break it down like it was like, you know, you take all the guitar out, you take all the drum out, and you break it down. For all the people that hated him this season, fuck you, because this is a great episode.
Oh, I've enjoyed
great
a bit of this.
Great fucking episode.
The whole season has been
best Christmas episode of almost any show I've ever seen. Maybe. Yeah. I have to rack my brain to find a better one. This episode...
Star Wars Christmas, man. Come on.
Dude.
I've actually never watched
it. Yeah,
come on. That's Celebration Day. Come
but
on.
This episode was so goddamn good. But I will say this.
I'd be watching it right now if I wasn't here.
I want to piggyback on Jay's text to us all. But how... I mean... Yeah, they're getting darker and darker each episode. But how goddamn good was What If's last episode?
It was like, dude. I thought the Doctor Strange one was okay, but this one was
I thought the Doctor Strange one was great, but this one was even better because fucking Spider-Man, dude.
Like his endless optimism.
Yeah.
And
his shot, his line about hope and what.
Yeah.
And they finally in the MCU mentioned Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just.
And then Chadwick saying, in my culture, death is not the end.
Yeah. Oh, it hurts.
I'm like, oh.
That hurts. That hurts so bad.
Yeah. And then, like, everything. I was a little aggravated about how they got rid of Bucky in the episode. I felt like they did him dirty. Like, just tossing him away.
Yeah, but I get what the episode was about.
Yeah. But, like, chopping Wong's head off, that was, like, out of the gate. Yeah. I was like, it's fucking cool.
This, we said this. And I know we've reiterated this now a few episodes. But when the critics said they saw the first 3 episodes and the first one was the weakest, they didn't even know.
No.
Because this show has gotten better. In fact, what this is what you want out of fucking comic books.
Yeah.
It is. This was What If when we were growing up as a kid.
The better version of it.
Yeah.
Now, haven't either of you guys ever read the Marvel Zombies? Because I never did.
Oh, yeah, me.
No, I never did.
And so my only small complaint, and it's a small complaint, the origin of Marvel Zombies in the Marvel Universe was better from the comics. It was better from the comics. Because
but it was the MCU universe, which makes sense.
Not MCU. It wasn't the cinematic universe. Yeah. It makes sense for changing.
It makes sense that they're doing.
Because in the regular Marvel comic universe, the alternate MCU, I guess you could say, but it was a zombie Reed Richards, who was super smart, you know.
Yeah.
And that was a better story. But he's
not there yet. They can't do that.
But they did an amazing job of changing it.
That was Robert Kirkman, right?
Yeah,
yes.
It was Kirkman.
Yeah.
Did you see that the internet was all abuzz about, like, maybe Deadpool made his debut in the MCU in the What If?
I didn't see that, no.
There's a scene where they go, when they meet up with Vision.
Yeah.
And when they pull the Mind Stone and the zombies start coming in, there is one zombie, but he has great hair. Yeah. And he's got 2 swords. And at first, I had to rewind it, because at first I thought they were on his back, but they're actually just shoved. It looks like they're probably shoved into his back. And everybody's like, is that Deadpool's debut? Is that Deadpool? You know, like, and I don't think it is, but it was like a fun little, waste of time.
Well, it's a good transition that you mentioned that, because there's been a lot of traction on the Phantom 4 new projects that are popping up from the MCU. And I think if I were a betting man, which I'm not, I'm getting closer.
I mean, we play Phantom football.
But, yeah, but that's different. But I would, which I'm dominating this week.
Me too.
But I would say that Deadpool 3 is almost a hardcore layup to be one of the films. But I did love Van City Reynolds at Van City Reynolds, which is Ryan Reynolds' Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
I loved his guesses. His guesses was Fantastic 1, some movie, Fantastic 2, some movie. Like, so I believe that Fantastic 4 and Daredevil 3 will definitely be movies.
Deadpool 3.
See, I think Blade will be before Deadpool.
I think
because they've already announced it.
But no. I just mean 2024. Yeah. And so, no. And I think the Blade will be one.
So, did you guys see Shang-Chi?
Yes.
You Shang-Chi? Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
You're right, it is Shang.
And I have not, so don't spoil
it. I won't spoil it, but did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it.
I had a fucking blast with it.
It was everything I wanted from Black Widow that it didn't deliver.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Big D, he said it. Now, Big D is a massive comic book fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, I can't say this for sure, but it may be my favorite single origin. Non-Avenger related Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. I mean, he was talking about Black Panther. What he meant was Thanos story.
Yeah.
Single non-best Thanos story.
I read a ranking.
So are Guardians in there?
Yeah.
Because that's an origin story.
Guardians in there.
Okay.
I think Guardians is more fun, but this is just it's a better, well-rounded.
It's hard to fuck with James Gunn.
Yeah, it really is. But this is a better, well-rounded story. Everybody had an equal amount of time. I thought pretty well, the fight scenes are just fucking awesome.
I got harassed by my wife for the last third because I was leaning forward with my hands on my chin because I was so sucked in.
He's a new Avenger. Yeah. It's official.
Oh yeah, and I like what they did with the rings because they had to go completely different because it's basically Thanos again. Otherwise, it'd be the Infinity Stones again if they did it the other way.
By the way. Zombie Thanos with the Infinity Stone.
That's
spoiler warning. Back
so I
to
rewatched
those.
That What If again
fucking
today.
Awesome.
And yeah. I was
fucking
like,
awesome.
That ends on a real cliffhanger. And that's the only one that's really ended on a cliffhanger, right?
But yeah, but I've said all along, it's all leading
yeah,
up
it's
to
all
one big.
Leading
to,
yeah.
Because it's Strange One, that world ended.
By the way, for those that don't know but are watching What If, the Watcher... He was from Boardwalk Empire. He's from Westworld.
Yep.
He's a black guy that's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, Jeffrey Wright.
Spectacular.
And spectacular is an understatement.
Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon. And by the way, and I don't want to bring us back down. I started on a low note with my wife's grandma. Yeah. But to bring us back down, dude, we lost a big one this week. And Michael K. Williams?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, that's a big one. That's like, whew, yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah, he was a spectacular character, actually.
Unbelievable.
Like, did you watch Lovecraft Country?
Not yet, I have HBO Max, so I will watch
break
it.
Break your heart in Lovecraft Country.
I can't tell you what, I'm almost teary-eyed talking about it because of how great he was in Boardwalk Empire and The Wire.
He's Omar.
Yeah.
Omar, he's Chalky White in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
And that scar was from a real fucking knife wound.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it sucks that he couldn't get out of that.
Yeah, it really does.
I wish we could see the solo cut with him in it. Because he was the Paul Bettany character.
Oh,
and they replaced him halfway through.
Yeah. Which Paul Bettany, no disrespect to him, he did a great job.
He did.
Oh, no, Paul Bettany's a great actor.
Yeah.
But
Chalky really
White
sucks.
Is even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once you watch Lovecraft Country, like... His character, like...
Well,
a tough one, man.
Yeah.
Twitter exploded with everyone, like, disappointed by what happened.
Yeah. Tough loss, dude.
I think they already... Like, it was an overdose or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Heroin.
Yeah, and they said, is the dealer or somebody's already being, like, arrested and shit?
Yeah,
like,
well, he should have been arrested before.
Yeah,
but, you know,
but
I
mean,
I
it is what it is,
it.
But I'm like...
Well, let's.
Oh, it's just really sad.
Let's. I know we've officially thrown it to Missy now, but let's do some quick hits real fast before we wrap up this episode. Go ahead, Jay.
Go ahead, Jay.
All right. Did you guys see Untold: Crime and Penalties?
Dude.
No.
I gotta tell you.
Which one? That one? What's that about?
The best one so far.
Okay.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the guy that the Sopranos were based on.
I want to watch it. I just haven't pulled the trigger yet.
But, so the guy's son injured his knee and couldn't play hockey anymore, so he bought a minor league hockey team for him to run.
But let me
and
ask you this.
All enforcers for the most part.
But let me ask you this. That's one way
to say
it.
How is that not already a movie?
I know.
But that's one way to say it. But the kid, the 17-year-old kid... Turned out to be a pretty fucking good GM.
He did.
If the cap wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
The problem was, and it's what the, spoiler warning, the FBI took him down because of the rules of the league said you had max amount of pay that you could give them, and they were using shelter companies around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But he built a pretty hard to, I'm going to say this right now. They're bad guys.
Yeah.
The mafia is bad. But you can't help but root for him.
Yeah, it always seems cool. How has Ben Affleck and Matt Damon not already, like, gotten their rights to this
movie? I know. Like, one of the guys, they pulled out of prison to play for him. He just got down or something. But it was just so... I was captivated the whole time watching
it. Yeah, I'm gonna watch that one. I saw that one come up, and I was like, oh, I got it on my must-watch list. But I had actual work to do the last couple weeks, so I'm like, ah, it's really cutting into my Netflix time.
There's a new one out, and I haven't seen it. I don't remember what it is right now.
Well, the next one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I gotta tell you, the way they do these, and I watched the Martin, the boxer.
Yeah.
I love the Christine Mouse Martin at the Palace. Yeah. I love this one the best, and I haven't watched a tennis one, but I'm excited about it. They do a good job on these.
They do.
Yeah. I didn't watch the Caitlyn Jenner one because I don't like her as a person.
I did watch it. It was interesting seeing it.
Oh, no, we watched it. It was okay.
Yeah.
It's the weakest of them, but it's a good take on it.
Yeah.
The only problem I have with it is they cut out, so they're telling the story of the transition from Bruce to Caitlyn athletically and stuff, but they cut out a significant portion of his life, his second wife.
Yeah.
They
briefly touch on it.
Yeah, that's a problem when you skip over a lot.
Yeah.
The mother of like his son.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're telling you're acquiescing to Bruce's needs. Yeah. Or Caitlyn's.
Oh
needs.
Yeah, he
Sorry.
Definitely yeah. had did editing rights to that story.
He did.
I've watched a couple movies. The first one's an Amazon Prime movie called Parallel. It's a pretty interesting sci-fi parallel universe movie about like five young early they're supposed to be in their early 20s, like out of college, tech startup guys, and they find a mirror in their loft upstairs. That
love this movie.
You see it?
Love this movie.
It was pretty interesting.
Love it.
Like and it got like, I'm not saying it's like a 10 out of 10 or anything. It's a solid 7 because it gets
No.
Weird.
Break it down for our fans because everyone knows that we use the universal
untapped scale. I would say it's a 3.5.
Okay.
I'd give 3.75. I loved it.
You had me at sci-fi.
Yeah, and it's really weird because they start jumping into these parallel universes and they do some really shitty things to the alternate versions of themselves.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like, that's really dickish. Like, they start, like, they need money, so they start robbing alternate universes of themselves. Like, and it just, like, spills over from there, and then it gets weirder and weirder, and by the end, I was like, I think that was pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Dude, great movie. Like, I'll spin off that, and I'll recommend a movie, too, and I don't know if you can see it outside of Shudder, but I think you can look it up if you guys have your phone handy.
Okay.
Dave Makes a Maze.
Okay.
We're going to watch the trailer when we're done because we're talking about it. The whole point of the movie, and it is a quote-unquote horror movie, it's a guy makes a guy, unemployed guy who's down on his luck, but he has a smoking hot girlfriend, but he's really depressed, makes a box
Dave
for,
made a maze.
Dave made a maze. He makes a box for it in his living room, and it turns out it's bigger on the inside. And when his girlfriend comes home, he says, "Don't come in." So they end up bringing a bunch of people in the house. They're like, "Don't come in." He's like, "It's bigger on the inside. I'm lost." And when they get inside, it is a maze. There's a minotaur. There's a devil. And there's brutal murders that happen. When they happen, silly string pops out instead of blood. But it is, and it's pretty goddamn fun, man.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Is it a 5 out of 5? No. For me, it's a 4 out of 5 because it's pretty fucking fun.
Apparently, it's free on Tubi.
Dude, it's super fun. We'll watch that trailer. So
86% of Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty good,
dude. It's and you'll know the actors when you watch it. You'll know them.
This is something I got to watch with Caleb.
Dude, oh my god! You know what? Watching it with your kids, it's not a problem.
Yeah,
the language isn't bad. The death scenes.
Well, the
aren't
Minotaur's
awful.
Got like a paper mache helmet on. Or head.
You don't even know the half of it, bro. You don't even know the half, bro. We're going to watch the trailer when we're done.
Okay. Language isn't an issue in our house.
Yeah, but no. Even if it were, you're good.
One of my good friends came in town from D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of Ted Lasso episode.
Oh.
While Roy was on screen. So, fuck.
He doesn't even know yet. The cursing with Roy comes up in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So, Well, we probably should have mentioned this first, but there are a couple big trailers. Hawkeye today.
Oh, holy yeah. shit. Yeah, no. Really we didn't need to mention. This is the best time to mention it.
I watched it four times.
Oh, dude, it was so much I watched fun. It yeah. on my phone twice, and then I went and took a shit and had to bring my iPad in to watch it again.
Yeah.
Dude, I got to tell you this. My problem with the Hawkeye, MCU Hawkeye,
yeah.
and this story was it didn't make sense. But the trailer sets it up perfect.
Yeah.
To where his family's gone.
Yes.
And it, oh my God. Is how this, smart yeah. is this?
Yeah. It's Home Alone, basically. Like, he's trying to get home, but he can't. Yeah. He's taking care of shit.
And if, I don't know this because we don't know the guy, but if I were Matt Fraction, I'd watch that trailer and go, God damn it, they made it work.
Yeah.
And that, I gotta tell you.
And where's my money?
yeah. I want people who listen to the show to know how excited I am about this. This may be the most excited I am about all the Disney Plus
yes.
MCU stuff. This is awesome. There's one more of those Melvins. Take it.
Can
man.
I have it?
Yeah, go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, take it, dude. And sorry to... No.
I didn't want to take his beer.
No, that's fine.
I know Jay. He's yeah. not going to drink another beer the rest
yeah.
of the night.
Yeah.
But this is the most exciting to me. Not just because it's Jeremy Renner. It's him, Hawkeye. Yeah. It's a great Arrowette or yeah. Hawk Girl or whatever.
Hawkeye.
I think she's also
yeah,
Hawkeye.
She's Hawkeye.
She
is yeah,
Hawkeye.
She's just Hawkeye. Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah. Haley Steinfeld, yeah. But Matt Fraction's story is the best Hawkeye story ever told.
I told... Madeline will. They have to read it before the show comes on.
Yeah.
And they seem to have found a way to make it work.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think the Freefall one that I talked about the other week was pretty good, but it had yeah. a lot of Matt Fraction's notes.
Wait, Freefall. What are you talking about?
Hawkeye Freefall.
He talked about it.
Oh, the story. Yeah. No. Okay.
It's pretty good, but it's basically building off the Matt Fraction, the Hawkeye that Matt Fraction everybody knows now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are absolutely right. I mean, I don't know. We don't rate trailers much, but we're going to rate two trailers tonight because I know the second
five
one
out
you're going to bring up. It's 5 out of 5. So spin into the next one, Jay.
So then the Matrix trailer came.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm 20 years old again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm...
high in a movie theater.
Giddy excited. Yeah. Giddy excited. And so I had... You know, I've been that guy... That has went and read all the spoiler warnings on the Matrix trailer.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it justice, dude.
No, they didn't.
It's way better in the Wachowski siblings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of them, though. Lana, I think, is
yeah. Yeah, yeah. One. So, let's digress a little bit. Wachowski brothers, they're not brothers anymore.
They gendered themselves.
Yeah, they transgendered themselves. But regardless.
Well, I was going Bruce Jenner, but...
Yeah, they gendered themselves. I like yours better. But this, God damn it. There's two things that make me think that this is going to deliver. One, my 19, 20-year-old naivete.
Yep.
And two, I don't think Keanu Reeves will make a bad movie ever again.
I don't think he can.
No, I think he has gotten to the point where he is this... Quiet, and I say yeah. quiet because he's a nice guy in Hollywood. Yeah. I think he quietly has enough stroke to where he's like, if it sucks, I'm not going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Let's make it great. And I'll tell you this.
I got the lake house out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the preview looks like, and the worst review of it, they accidentally made it better for me. They go, well, if you were a fan of Matrix 1, this looks like a rehash of all the same old shit.
Okay.
The best review that I saw was, it looks like they figured out what people want in a Matrix movie, and they're just redoing the first one. And that's
done,
a good
yeah.
thing.
I'm done, dude.
Yeah, I was a little thrown off that which the guy that they got to replace Morpheus, and I don't know why. And I'm not. I know you can do it because it's different versions of the Matrix, so you can have alternates or whatever. And I was like a little disappointed that Lawrence Fishburne wasn't in it again.
Well. And let's face
it. I don't know
Lawrence why. Fishburne's because he's fucking fat.
Because he's fat now.
He's fat as a kid.
But I went back and I rewatched the original Matrix after watching that trailer on Friday, and I was like, "Damn, Lawrence Fishburne was pretty fit in the first one.
Not anymore."
And then he turned into Perry White.
Yeah.
But you know what? He works for the fucking John Wick movies.
Yeah.
Because he's retired. Dude, I can't. So Hawkeye, you know, these touch like a different part of my nerd, geek vein, nerves. One was a direct shot into my comic book loving life, and they nailed it. This one was a direct shot in my sci-fi loving life, and I don't think that like 20-year-olds today know how massive the Matrix was in our filmmaking world.
No, they don't, because I tried.
They changed filmmaking.
Yeah, well, I tried to make Jeremiah watch it with me. He goes, I've watched it. I thought it was fine. I'm like, because you saw everything that came after
you
that.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. It was Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Just 10 years
God
later.
Damn.
But that's how I felt about...
Jay just wrapped it up. Absolutely right. Yeah. Terminator 2 was... Yeah, I mean, fuck, man.
But that's how I felt about... Like, everybody's always like, Blade Runner's the greatest sci-fi movie in the history of sci-fi movies. And it's a good movie,
dude,
but the first time
Blade Runner,
I watched it,
it's a great movie.
I was like, this is kind of boring, and I really appreciate everything that's came from it, like all the inspiration that's came from it. I've enjoyed, and I like that it's there, and I watch it, and I respect it for that. It's not my favorite sci-fi movie. Now, Blade Runner 2049, I think, is fucking a masterpiece.
Great movie.
And I can't wait for Dune.
Oh, dude. The runtime and the early looks at Dune have been... The critics that have watched it have... Praise the shit out of
it. I don't know dick about Dune. Like, I know nothing at all.
Okay, I tried reading it like 3 or 4 years ago. Couldn't get into it.
I know nobody who's ever been able to
read it. Hikus, friend of the show, Hikus, loves it. But Jay, this is a good story.
Yeah, so first time I tried to read it, I didn't even get halfway through it. I'm like, I can't do this. And so when it was announced for a movie, they announced the cast, I could see what they look like. I went back and reread it. And I loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, like, I'm considering going and getting a little further into it.
So you can
it.
Visualize it. Okay.
And by the way,
That was my same problem with Game of Thrones, is I tried reading it first.
Yeah.
And there were just so many names and characters, you couldn't tell who was
Also, there was, like, 4 chapters where he talked about, like, what people were wearing. I'm like, I don't know what any of these words are. Yeah.
Well, it gets worse as you go
Before we go further, back off of George R.R. Martin. If Telly comes on the show...
Is he alive still?
Yeah, dude, he's a billionaire.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not rich.
No, and from all accounts, he's a great dude, but until he comes on our show and explains himself, he's not a great dude.
I haven't even gotten through book 5 yet.
Yeah.
I've been working on it for almost a year.
Oh, really? I listen to all. It's easier to listen
to. Oh, his books?
Yeah.
I've read them all.
Well, yeah, I'm on book 5, and I just... Yeah. They kind of progressively gotten worse.
Don't do it.
Oh, they get way worse. He's adding characters. I'm like, why are you adding people?
Well,
we don't need these people.
Well, I'm going to go book 4 and put all the side characters telling the story.
Let's
book 3 was the best
Bender,
one.
Bender, what do you got for the movie? You had something.
I watched...
Jay's got way more to listen. We're going long tonight.
Things. Yeah, we're going long. I watched... Yeah. It's new on HBO Max, Malignant. Have you watched it yet?
Don't bring it up. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
That's the
James Wan?
Yeah, it's James Wan, but it's not just James Wan, but
it's the Conjuring Light
Conjuring
world
universe.
Or,
my daughter is so big into that, and I hear the third act is so fucking crazy.
It is nuts.
Yeah, that's why I want to watch it.
We got to talk about it.
My problem with the rest of the Conjuring universe... Not as crazy. I hear this one, and friend of the show who Jay's met, Jim Ousley, says this is his favorite.
It feels like a different movie.
Yeah, he goes, this is my favorite, and he goes, it's because the third act is a roller coaster.
It is a complete shit show of ridiculous, campy horror movie shit at the end.
I am in.
And I love it, but like...
I might cave and watch this one then.
Oh, hey.
Oh, there's so much blood.
Before
Don't watch it with the kids.
My oldest wants to see it. She's the one that's going to drive us to see it.
Yeah, before we wrap up, stick a fork in blood and Halloween. Just remind me before we're done for
and
Halloween.
And then my last thing is I beat, and I've been messing around. Which, if you want to talk about Once Future King, we can, but we don't have to. But I beat The Last of Us 2. And
let's hold Once and Future King off for later.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't play a lot of video games very often because I just don't have time. But The Last of Us was a super powerful PlayStation 3 story about like a zombie apocalypse essentially. Yeah. But instead of you get bit and you're undead, it was a plant based virus almost where you turn into like a plant hybrid type thing. And at the end of that game, Joel, who's the father figure, loses his wife and kids in the beginning, wife and daughter. And he carries this girl reluctantly across the entire country because she's immune to the virus.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, I'm going to spoil it.
That's okay. I'll never
Exactly. He makes a choice.
I'm about 10 minutes into it. I started at the beginning of the pandemic, and I'm like, this is hitting too close to home. I'm not.
Oh, well, he makes a choice that basically destroys the world forever.
Oh.
But he makes a fatherly choice.
Yeah. Which we would all make.
And in The Last of Us 2, that choice comes home. And it's Ellie, who's the girl who survives, and then another girl who's hunting Joel because he killed her father at the end of the last game. And nobody's wrong, and the brutality is ridiculous.
And so, side note, that series is filming, right?
It's
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, I think it's the FX or the HBO show.
Pascal of Mandalorian fame.
Which is causing issues right now.
Yeah, fuck them. They could put anybody in that suit.
That's the thing right now is he's got first rights with Last of Us.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to put somebody in the suit.
Which is okay. Yeah. I love Pedro Pascal. I love it. The Kingsman, he's amazing in the second one.
Yeah.
But,
is a terrible movie, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's great. But
Favreau's upset, though, because they were going to do more with the mask off. And
they should have let him know. There's a lot of money at stake. Let him know.
But The Last of Us is a solid, two story driven, just really, really well done story.
I'm in.
And that's what I've heard about it, and I've always wanted to play it. But just the timing, I don't have time to play games at
all. It's the hard and fighting humans versus fighting, because you can kind of get a strategy on the monsters, figuring them out. But the humans are a real pain in the ass. And this last one, there's one certain set piece where you have to come down an 80 story building. And, you're fighting from hotel floor level to hotel floor level. And it is, the most... I've played it, at night at 11, from, 9 when the kids go to bed to, 11.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't sleep because my adrenaline was running so hard.
That's a good game. That's a great game. What do you got, Jay?
We've had a PS4 for 2 years, and I've played about 20 minutes, and 10 of it was Last of Us, and 10 of us was Uncharted.
Don't get Bender started on Uncharted.
Naughty Dog.
Go to your next topic because he will go.
Love it.
So I watched Beats, Rhymes, and the Life, the Tracks of a Tribe Called Quest.
I watched that too. I've seen
It's on HBO, I think, or Amazon.
Amazon. Amazon Prime. Let's check that one out. I have the album that's named after. And that it was a Michael Rappaport documentary.
Yes, it was.
And it came out a few years ago.
2016. It
came out before Five Dog Pass, and it came out before We'll Take It From Here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great documentary. Okay. I watched it in about 2017. Your thoughts.
It went into a lot of the issues they had towards
the end. Q-Tip and Five Dog. It didn't paint anybody as a bad guy.
No, it didn't. But you were there in the middle of the arguments, and it was a really well done documentary.
I think for me, and again, I need to qualify it because I'm a homer.
Mm.
I think in the pantheon of great hip hop groups, Tribe Called Quest is one of the top three, if not top two.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, definitely. They are the Mount Rushmore, and I have. Three or four of their albums over there, and I actively go out and search for their albums. And boy, I tell you what, Michael Rappaport, to me, his swan song is A Beautiful Girls, which is one of the greatest movies ever made. He is a devout, he's become a bit of a podcaster, polarizing figure, but he is a diehard rap fan, especially of the Northeast.
Yeah.
And he loved A Tribe Called Quest. And you feel that in the documentary.
Yes, you do.
You feel, and you only hear him occasionally weigh in. He'll ask a question, but goddamn, man. Great documentary.
Yeah, it was
An intense dude on Twitter.
That's a 5 out of 5 on me for the documentary.
Easily.
Goddamn, it's good.
Check it out.
Yeah. And then I watched Too Funny to Fail, The Life and Death of Dana Carvey.
The best documentary. I brought that up. This is the second time the documentary or the podcast has heard that documentary. But that's a fun one.
Dana Carvey?
You've still not watched it, Dana Carvey's talk show.
Oh,
no, it was a sketch show.
Sketch show.
Man, I remember that that show like as a kid, and like the episode that got him canceled, I cried. Oh, it's laughing. So,
they did something, and this is
Colbert talks about it.
For those, Colbert, Stephen Carell, they were all on. Stephen Carell thought he wasn't going to get the job because Colbert was up for it.
Yeah. Like Louis C.K. and Robert Smigel were writers on it.
Yeah.
So. We talked. This is where it might bring you back in because you and I talked about it on our show. But I think the best show they ever did, because of how much of a statement it was, they did an episode where it was just them filming a TV showing Married or Tool Time. what was that show?
Home Improvement.
Home Improvement.
Yes,
they just showed a TV. Showing the live Home Improvement of them, and that was the whole episode.
Just making fun of it?
No, they didn't make fun of it. They just showed it.
That's weird.
Dude, it's meta.
So they were going for like the Saturday Night Live vibe.
Yeah.
But it was in prime time.
Yeah.
So a lot of the jokes
they canceled was the Bill Clinton thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And by the time they got, when they knew they were getting canceled, they just said, we're going to go for it. So they did things like that. Dude, to show like, because that's who they were up against.
Yeah.
Sort of like if we're up against Tool Time.
Yeah.
Let's just show it.
Well, that's awesome.
And they got put in a time spot and then they got moved behind Tool Time.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there like, we're behind a family show. Do they not realize what kind of show
we are? Like, if you just leave the TV on at that time.
But, you know, though, the thing is they failed for a reason.
Yeah.
Because people didn't get it.
Right.
And that is people's problem.
But everybody came out of that show.
Everybody from that is not just big. They're the biggest.
Yeah. Like, Stephen Colbert is... I'm a huge Colbert fan, and you know my thoughts. I'm a huge liberal, and he is too, and I really like it.
And Steve Carell,
but the way
they both went to Daily Show after that,
But the way he like puts things into perspective, kind of aligns, and I really like it. And so I watch his show all the time, and he had Dana Carvey on a couple months ago, and like. Steve's always like commands and like he will hold like a journalist or a politician to the fire and like he literally like you can see that like this is my father figure here and I'm asking him questions again even though I'm making $20-30 million a year and it was when he started his podcast he came on to talk about his podcast
he's Carell's great
and they were doing back and forths on how they do their because Dana Carvey does a Joe Biden impression which is fucking hilarious and they were comparing impressions. And they're so different, but also really funny. You know?
And even Louis C.K., who is...
He's kind of disgraced himself, but
No, he was canceled, but Louis C.K., the thing with Louis C.K., and I'm not defending him, the things he did, he never sexually assaulted
anyone. No, no.
He just had weird. He had a kink, and everyone knew about it. Sarah Silverman,
Silverman defended it.
She talked about it from day one. It's like, we all knew it.
He was a public Arnie Hammer.
Also, by the way, Louis C.K. still selling out everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Still one of the funniest people on the planet.
Yeah,
But, I mean, everyone that was touched to this show is comic gold.
So, and that's where the TV Funhouse cartoons came from on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
They started there and then moved over when the show
TV Funhouse.
Let me do. I have like one more thing. I texted it to you guys. I don't know if you guys listened to it. The John Mulaney.
I have not read.
I haven't either yet.
So
Hummel did, and he loved it.
Yeah, because he's same genre of writing.
I love John Mulaney.
John Mulaney wrote all of the Bill Hader's characters,
the Stefan
stuff. He wrote it all, and he didn't see it.
They would write it, and then he would change it at the last minute. Yeah.
Maybe the best monologue SNL saw in the last 10 years,
and he's spectacular. And I like all of his stand up. I think he's spectacular.
No, Mulaney's a genius.
He's got absolutely. He's got a very raw interview with Seth Meyers. It's worth listening to because Seth and him
also
are really
Seth
good friends.
Meyers great.
Yeah, and Seth and him are really good friends. And like it's just basically about how they went to the. I'll tell you a quick story from it. So he was going to an intervention. Mm. He thought he was going to meet people for dinner at 7. And he goes, I showed up at 30 Rock and asked the Saturday Night Live makeup lady to give me a haircut. And she goes, you're not on the show this week. He goes, yeah, I know, but can I just have a haircut? I showed up at 7. I was supposed to be at dinner at 7. So like, they're texting around, like, the person he's supposed to be at dinner with is texting around, and he's like, I'm at 30 Rock getting a haircut. And Seth Meyers goes, he's figured it out. He's not coming. So he called 30 Rock, and he was like, he's fucking getting a haircut. And he showed up, and, like, they're going back and forth, and he goes, I'm going to take the wind out of you guys' sails right now. I know I'm an addict. I know I am right now, so you can scratch that off the front of your card that you're going to read to me.
That's hilarious.
But it's pretty good, and it's like a 20-minute interview, and it's pretty solid. You should definitely listen to it.
I will
listen. You can hear, like, he's still struggling. He's happy, but he's still hurting, you know? Yeah. And it's like, oof. I hope it works out for him. He's having a kid with a living mun now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hope it works out for him. Yeah.
It's also super hot.
Yeah. Not a great actress, though. Or, you know, that's not fair.
I like her.
She's just not Christmas being in a lot of pretty, good yeah. stuff.
If I will say this, and we're going to get a Christmas episode. And
we should do that. We should all go see Matrix 4 together.
Before we wrap up, I do want to touch on the Halloween, because I want to bring Mike Schilling's conversation into this. Before we touch on Halloween, we should talk about bigger Christmas stories. Office Christmas Party is one of the greatest.
I've never
Christmas
watched it.
It's great.
Oh, it's good.
We should watch it together.
Okay.
All right. So what else you got before we wrap up?
One last movie, The Art of Self-Defense.
Ooh, oh, great movie. Oh,
it's
great
on
movie.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, great movie. Gets really dark.
Really dark.
Biker gang. Oh, man. Who's in that?
Guy played Lex Luthor. Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg.
A guy that gets jumped, and he ends up going to a self-defense class.
And then
it just goes downhill
from
there.
And spoiler warning, and John, the people that jumped him was a self-defense class that he goes to.
Yeah.
Great movie. I think I mentioned it on a podcast. But, dude, I tell you, quirky, very dark humor. Everything that's in my wheelhouse.
Okay. Yeah,
check that out. 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll check that one out.
Hey, before we wrap up, we're at like 1:20. By the time I put the episode up, it's going to be an hour and a half. Missy brought it up. We should text Mike Schilling and see what we're going to do for Halloween.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're in September. One of my favorite, and we're going to get into this when the episode airs, one of my favorite Halloween movies of all time is Trick or Treat. It's an anthology.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, it's so good.
It's got, what's her name? Rogue.
There's a lot.
What's her name?
Yeah, Rachel Anna Paquin.
Anna Paquin.
There's a lot going on. A bunch of good anthologies. There's a new one that's like in the same vein called Bad Candy.
Okay.
So my proposal to Schilling, and he's on board, is that we come in here, we record like 15, 20 minutes of an episode.
Watch it and then come
watch
back.
Watch it and then come back and sounds dissect good it.
Yep.
So that's what the plan is. So I'm excited about that.
That's good. Yeah. Speaking of Halloween, and I'm sorry I keep doing these tangents, I watched
you
Evil Dead.
You piece of shit.
I watched Evil Dead 1, which is fucking great. And then I watched Evil Dead 2, and I never realized that they basically retconned Evil Dead 1.
Yeah, they redid the movie with better special effects. Yeah.
Well, he didn't have the rights.
Yeah. No, it's Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And then watch Army of Darkness.
I have to, but I got busy at work.
Have you ever watched Army of Darkness?
I have, but as a kid, and I don't remember
maybe
a lot of it.
It's maybe, I don't know, this is a hyperbole, which, take a drink, maybe one of the top 10 films ever made.
Oh, no, I love it.
Yeah.
And, like, Bruce Campbell is my Uncle Dean, like, through and through. Like, I'm watching this movie, I'm like, this is... If my Uncle Dean was in this situation, this is what he would do. He's the same size, looked like him.
Well, that's a great movie. This was a very fun episode.
It was.
Great episode.
Yeah.
It's everything that our episode should be, and the Badger's not here, so Bender.
Hold on to your butts.
And Jay, woo him.
Bye.
And we're playing the music. So, that's it.
Yeah.